The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 10, verses from 25 to 37. Please turn to page 110 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Allow me to read the words of God. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen. In literature, a story that carries satirical or moral message through the acts of personified animals and plants is called a fable. In general, Aesop's fable is considered the best among the fables. In Christianity, the most renowned work is The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, which depicts very well of the journey of faith from this world to the heavens, which a Christian must take. In the early days of Korean Christianity, some would hold the Pilgrim's Progress explanatory class instead of Bible explanatory class on Wednesday Bible study classes. There were fabular interpretation or allegorical interpretation methods among ways to interpret the Bible. These were popular methods from the ancient times to the medieval times. Of course, an analogy should be interpreted as an analogy, and a fact as a fact. If the entire Bible was to be interpreted as an analogy, this is most certainly wrong, and worse yet, it will become a cult. Matthew chapter 13 shows the parable of a sower, and it testifies that the seed that fell on good soil will produce a crop 100, 60, or 30 times of what was sown. This means that just as when soil takes in a seed full of force of life and bears numerous fruits, the living words of God can make our lives bear many fruits. However, in the medieval times, people made great efforts to make assumptions of what 100, 60, or 30 times meant. One of the most popular interpretations was as follows. 100 times refers to the number of martyrs who sacrificed their lives for the Christ Lord. 60 times refers to the number of priests or monks who took a vow of celibacy. And 30 times refers to husbands who governed well over their families and wives who obeyed well. That may sound easy to listen to, but the original meaning of the parable will disappear. the reason why Jesus told of the parable was to explain God's kingdom, not to emphasize martyrdom or the vow of celibacy. Moreover, devoting to God by offering one's virginity is definitely a valuable thing. But is this much harder than devoting for God's kingdom while maintaining our families in the form that God wants? I am not sure where the weight will lean over to. This way of interpreting the Bible is called the fabular interpretation. Today's parable of Good Samaritan is the most representative story that is interpreted in a fabular way. It is often interpreted as follows. Jerusalem means abode of peace. That is why Jerusalem was considered a place where God rules over. Jericho means place of fragrance or city of moon. Just as the moon seems to grow from new moon to full moon and then shrinks to waning crescent, Jericho was interpreted as waning or the falling world. And the man who was attacked by robbers referred to Adam, the one who represents mankind. Going down from Jerusalem was to go down to the world from the place where God ruled. So it was interpreted as being corrupted, and robber was undoubtedly interpreted as Satan. Half-dead meant being conquered by sin. The priest and Levite represented Judaism and other secular religions that cannot save mankind, and the Samaritan referred to Jesus Christ. The oil and wine meant the Holy Spirit and hope. The inn meant church, and innkeeper meant the Pope. The 2 denarii that the Samaritan gave when he left meant baptism and sacrament, or the promise of this life and after death. The next day meant the morning of resurrection, and when I return meant the advent. Although amusing, this sort of interpretation is never the reason why Jesus told such a story. After telling the story, Jesus asked, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And then said, "Go and do likewise." And to interpret this in a fabular way does not relate to the passage. Such interpretation is to misunderstand the original meaning. There is, however, a misunderstanding that we have over the story. We generally refer to the story as a parable of Good Samaritan. But Jesus did not say that this was a parable. Jesus usually used parables to talk about God's kingdom and the end, or the time of the end. This is probably because we, finite beings, cannot fully understand the kingdom of God and the time of the end. Also, he would use parables such as parable of the sheepfold to talk about Jesus himself. The story about the Good Samaritan who helped a man attacked by robbers may have been a true story. The acts of the Samaritan that helped a robbed man was very valuable and beautiful. That is why there are many organizations that take after the Samaritan's actions, referring to him as a Good Samaritan. There is a Good Samaritan Hospital and the Korean Good Samaritan Network. And in some countries, they practice the Good Samaritan Law. This law imposes imprisonments or fines to those who turn away or do not help someone in an emergency situation or in danger, even though there isn't any risk to themselves. But the Bible does not call this man the Good Samaritan, but just Samaritan. Because we are so used to this story, we automatically call him the Good Samaritan. But at the time, the adjective good was never to be used before Samaritan to the Jews. To the Jews at the time, the most good Samaritan was a dead Samaritan. The Jewish people openly cursed the Samaritans at the synagogue. Every day, they pray to God that Samaritans will never receive eternal life. Most rabbis taught even to the beggars that they should not receive any help from the Samaritans, because they even considered their money filthy. But Jesus talks of a Samaritan as the main character of the story. A very disturbing main character to those who were listening to the story. Today's movie audiences have higher sense of awareness. So if they think that a main character of a movie is inappropriate, they just do not watch it at all, regardless of how much interest they have of the movie. If they were to make a movie about a Samaritan who helped the man that met robbers, there would be absolutely zero audience in Jerusalem. This story was actually bad enough that Jesus could have been stoned. It is only appropriate that we as Christians should help and serve others. But if we listen to this story of Samaritan and come to a conclusion such as, let's become a good Samaritan, or let's be good, without considering the context, then we lack understanding of the passage, because Jesus did not bring out this story to tell people to live a life of helping those in need. Last week, we looked into the story of the Samaritan that helped the man attacked by robbers in detail. The expert in the law thought of himself as someone in the position to help others. But Jesus enlightened him that he was the man who was attacked by robbers. And the reason why Jesus asked him which of the three was a neighbor to the robbed man was to tell him to become a neighbor to whoever that needs help, without limiting only Jews as your neighbors, just as the Samaritan became a neighbor to someone in need, regardless of his ethnicity. The same goes for us. We too are like the man that was attacked by robbers. But we were able to recover through the Lord, who came to us through the help of those who became our neighbors and are able to live towards eternity. Then, it is only right for us to live as neighbors for those who were attacked by robbers by becoming the Lord's pathway. That is why we are to become more mature as Christians who know how to care for others' situations, not our own, while living in this world. Being more mature means that you know how to care for more people. Last August was scorching hot. I saw a printing that was hung up on the glass door of a store in front of a bus stop in Hapcheongdong after lunch. From afar, I thought it would say something like, "No cigarettes in store," or "Please do not ask for bus information." Instead, it said, "It's okay to wait for your bus inside. Please feel free to come inside." That store became a neighbor to those waiting for buses in the heat. You often have to make way for ambulances with sirens on when driving. You can simply differentiate an ambulance just by its shape and color, but you can also see the word ambulance is reversed backwards. Like ECNALUBMA. It is also touching to see 119 emergency service printed reversed on an ambulance. As you all may know, they need to be printed reversed so that the drivers in the front can see the words correctly through their rear view mirrors or the side view mirrors. This is also to enable people to see in other people's perspectives. I have seen an installation that really touched my heart while I was living in Geneva, Switzerland. There was a button which you can press before crossing the road that was installed on traffic light stands and beaten tracks. If you press the button, the light will turn green soon after. But if no one presses the button, the lights do not change so that the cars can drive through continuously. The button meant that this road is a desolate area, so press the button if you want to cross the road. And on most of the traffic light stands, there were small square devices with a yellow pictogram of a visually impaired walking with a stick below that button. At first, I did not understand its meaning. A few minutes later, I accidentally touched the yellow installation. There was a long triangular projection at the bottom side of the installation that showed direction. And what happens next was the installation started to gently vibrate when the light turns green. The installation was for the visually impaired to put their hands over the device while waiting to cross the road. It told them that they can cross the road when it vibrates. The triangular projection at the bottom showed where the crosswalk was. That small device truly touched my heart. So, one time, I did not cross the road but kept my hand on the installation. When the green light flickered, the vibration did the same. The vibration felt like it was shaking my heart. During the 6 years of my stay in Geneva, I saw 3 to 4 visually impaired people. To non-impaired people, the device had no meaning, whether it was there or not. But think about how much grateful the visually impaired people would be towards the device. That installation and the heart of those who installed them have become a good neighbor to the visually impaired. We should not forget that the story about the Samaritan who helped the man attacked by robbers was brought up from the question that the expert in the law asked to Jesus about salvation. Verse 25 On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" An expert of the law asked Jesus about eternal life. Not because he deeply pondered about how to gain eternal life, but just to trouble Jesus. This question is like asking, if God is omnipotent, can he make a difficult question that he cannot solve? Or, what was God doing before the creation? In his book, Confessions, Saint Augustine answers, he was making hell for people like you. If we say that the expert of law is equivalent to a professor who majored in the Old Testament at a theological seminary in today's settings, Jesus is equivalent to a deacon or an elder who practices faith eagerly at a church in countryside. If the seminary professor asked a deacon or an elder of a countryside church about eternal life, it won't be because he did not know about it. If Jesus gave an extraordinary answer, the expert of law would have disregarded Jesus as someone who did not know about the law. Same goes for our faith. The more questions we have about faith, the more our faith becomes serious and mature. If there isn't a serious question about faith, the faith will never grow deeper. The verse 26 says as follows, "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" To this question, the expert in the law answered with what was learned and taught as the key point of the law at the time. Verse 27. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." These words were quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. We have looked into the meanings 3 weeks ago in detail. With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind means to love God and people using all of our personalities and lives and abilities. After hearing the answer, Jesus told him as follows in verse 28. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." It's not quite easy to understand this right away. It almost makes us think like, does he mean that we can earn eternal life if we live by the law? Or keeping the law won't give us eternal life. Is Jesus lying? When the expert in the law asked, "And who is my neighbor?" After Jesus' answer, Jesus told him of the story about the Samaritan who helped the man attacked by robbers. This expert in the law misapprehended that doing good was the way to earn eternal life. What Jesus told him was to make him realize of the wrong thoughts that he had. If you think that the purpose of making Luke write up this story in the Bible is to teach us of moral imperative, then you have thought it wrong. To be exact, it was written not to teach us of moral imperative, but to show us of our moral bankruptcy. What what Jesus tried to teach us through the parable of Good Samaritan was look straight at the crack between your life's theory and practice. You know what the standard of God's love is, but you have no ability to practice that. You will not question things like, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Or who is my neighbor? In arrogance, if you realize that you do not have the ability to love God and the people. Something similar to today's passage appears in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 33. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." One of the teachers of the law said, "To love God and your neighbor is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices," after hearing Jesus' saying. Listening to that, Jesus said as follows in Mark chapter 12, verse 34. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. When Jesus said to the teacher, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," it sounds like a compliment on the surface. But his words do not say that the teacher earned the eternal life. Jesus only said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Not, "You were in the kingdom of God." Being not far from and inside are not synonyms. Gentiles were originally far away from God. They did not know of salvation. They did not know of offering rituals to wash away sins. Nor did they know of God's words. In fact, they did not even have the slightest idea of God's being. On the other hand, the Jews knew all about God, the rituals, and the words. In this sense, the Jews were very close to God's kingdom. But whether you are far away or close, this does not change the fact that you are outside of the kingdom of God. Ultimately, there is no benefit in the phrase, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." It rather adds despair. The ark that Noah made is the model of church and salvation. People that lived in the same village Noah lived in must have seen him making the ark. They probably came close to watch and even ask questions about him. The rain never fell from the sky at the time, so they probably did not understand Noah saying that a big rain will fall. They may have even considered him a madman. Some may have thought that rain might fall because Noah was so serious in making the ark. They would have boarded Anna's ark if they wanted to. But when the rain started to fall, there were only 8 people in the ark from Noah's family and none other. At the time, there were those who were on the opposite side of the earth that died without a chance of seeing Noah building the ark, hearing of his name, or seeing his face. They were literally those who were far away. On the other hand, the people who lived in the same village as Noah did died even after seeing the ark. How much would have they regretted when the rain started falling so hard and then realized that there was no other way to survive unless they were in the ark? Jesus told the expert in the law as follows, after telling him of the Samaritan who helped the man that was attacked by robbers. Go and do likewise. Most of the experts in the law at the time were priests or Levites, meaning the priest and the Levite that neglected the man who was robbed were another aspect of the expert in the law. Jesus asked in return, "You think that you know the most important part of the law, but the truth is, do you not avoid when time comes for you to love God and your neighbor, using the provisions of the law as an excuse?" When he heard, "Go and do likewise," and if the expert was honest to himself, the expert in the law should have said to Jesus, "Teacher, I am never capable of doing so. Not only that, I had narrow thoughts about my neighbors. What then should I do to earn eternal life? Please help me." In 1860, an evangelist named Dwight L. Moody held assemblies throughout England and Scotland with praise missionary and composer Ira David Sankey, and there were revival moves in various areas. When they held an assembly in a city in Scotland, a girl attended and was deeply moved. The girl went to see the senior pastor of the church that she was attending and asked about the way of salvation. The pastor told her to read Isaiah chapter 53 and to pray. Isaiah chapter 53 prophesies about the sufferings that Jesus will go through. Then the girl then said with a very sad face, "Pastor, I do not know how to read, nor do I know how to pray." The pastor prayed for the girl and taught her how to pray. Then the girl prayed as follows, "Lord Jesus, take me as I am." And like that, she became the Lord's disciple. Hymn number 214 is a song written with her story. Verses 1, 3, and 4 goes as follows. "Jesus, my Lord, to thee I cry. Unless thou help me, I must die. O bring thy free salvation nigh, and take me as I am. No preparation can I make, my best resolves I only break. Yet save me for thine own name's sake, and take me as I am. Behold me, Savior, at thy feet. Deal with me as thou seest meet. Thy work again, thy work complete, and take me as I am." If we are beings that can act on our thoughts and resolutions, Jesus would have not come down to this earth, and the atonement of the cross would have never happened. The Bible continuously tells us that we can never achieve salvation through our own abilities, and that it is impossible to live new lives. It tells us that it is only through Jesus Christ, who came as the eternal Samaritan and the eternal neighbor, that we can receive eternal life and live new lives. Let us kneel down before the Lord in our heart and confess, Lord Jesus, take me as I am. Let us become the Lord's path that live as a neighbor of those who have been robbed, through the Lord that became our eternal neighbor. Let us pray. Father God, many a times we think that we can live good lives and live by the gospel through our own resolutions. But we thank you for letting us realize that these are in fact our own misunderstanding and delusions. Just as Peter had once boasted that he will follow Jesus to prison and to where Jesus will die, only to realize that he could not keep his words, crying to the sign of rooster. Let us be reminded that we are the same. Let us not fail from trying to show off how smart we are while living on this earth. And let us confess honestly to God how much wretched beings we are. And so let us kneel down before the Lord every day and walk alongside with the Lord who came as the eternal Samaritan and the eternal neighbor. Just as the Lord had reached out his hand and taken us unconditionally, make us become neighbors to those who have been robbed, and let us become the little Samaritans that resemble the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.